Kum lerne la blat gemorre.
Mitzoy
Shabbos Parshas Miketz. We're up to gemorre chefchas over the Aleph. In the Mishnah we had a machlekes. Quick introduction. The Mishnah we had a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. According to Chachamim, what you do with the chametz is you crumb it, and then you toss it into the wind, or you throw it into the river. According to Rabbi Yehuda, ain beer chametz, ella sefer. You have to burn it. It's the only way of doing it. And he says, and when exactly you're supposed to burn it? He says you're supposed to burn it. There's b'shas habir, and according to Rashi, you're supposed to burn it before 12 o'clock. But it comes 12 o'clock, then you just use wood, firewood, whatever you have. According to Tesis, before then you can get rid of it any way you want. It's only after 12 o'clock that you have to burn it. Now the Gemara wants to know. When the Rabbi Chachamim say you crumb it up and you toss it, they scatter it in the air, and then it's a throw into the sea, the word crumbing up, does that refer only in a case where you toss it into the air and you scatter it? But if you are going to throw it into the river, you don't have to crumb it up anymore? Or crumbing up is one thing, and then it tells you with those crumbs, you have two options. Either disperse it in the wind or toss it in the river. Now we have the exact same machlekes and question by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, the Torah said you should have nothing left from it. And so the machlek is there, actually exactly the opposite over here. Rabbi Yossi there says that you mefarad, that you sheichik, you grind it up. And then he says you toss it in the air or you put it in the river. And the Chachamim say that no, that that you cannot do that. And the reason why the Chachamim say you can only take it to the Yam HaMelech. The Chachamim say if you're going to scatter it and disperse it in the air, what happens to the land in somebody's garden? And they'll use it as fertilizer. And if you not have any benefit from the minutest amount of Avodah Zarah. And it's already explained over there that the argument is based on Zevezeh Gorim, what we learned last few days, that the fertilizer, you'll have the bulk of the fertilizer will be ordinary fertilizer, and you'll have a little bit of Avodah Zarah. So Zevezeh Gorim. Rabbi Yossi is not concerned about it, and therefore he says he can scatter it in the wind. And Rabbi Yossi said, and the Chachamim say, no, we are concerned about it. And the question over there is the same thing. So according to Chachamim, you have to take the Yam HaMelech, or, as Tosfos explains, you take it over there, you take it, and you scatter it in the wind in a region where there are no fields, so there's no need for that fertilizer. Or you actually bury it in the ground, as Tosfos Harosh says, you bury it in the ground. So that nobody can benefit from it, which actually is not so simple, because the Ramban and Chumash asked on last week's parasha when Yaakov told everyone in the family, okay, bring me Avodah Zarah, we're going to bury it. And the Ramban asked, how can they bury it? Because Avodah Zarah, you have to break it up and throw it in the Yam HaMelech or whatever. So the Ramban says, because the Goyim were already cancelled, nullified the Avodah Zarah, and therefore it wasn't really Avodah Zarah anymore technically, just he was being machmer. Yaakov was being strict. But technically, the only way of getting rid of it is by throwing it into Yam HaMelech or something like that. So, according to Benyatam, you have to burn the Avodah Zarah before you crumb it, you break it up and throw it in the air. And then the same question is, do you break it up and you scatter it in the air and you break it up and throw it into the Yam HaMelech or the river, or you just break it up and scatter it in the air, or you just throw it in the river. So that's the Gemara. Up to the two dots, but nine lines on the top. Chachamim aimim mefarad v'zoyre ruach. You break it up and you throw it in the wind. Iboy, I have a question. Hechi kama, what did he mean? Mefarad v'zoyre l'ruach u'mefarad u'mat l'yam. Mefarad is a term we use when it comes to bread. So you crumb it, And you scatter in the wind, you crumb it and you throw it into the sea. You want to scatter in the wind, you have to crumb it up. But if you're throwing in the river, just throw it whole. Doesn't matter. Same question is very similar. Biasi says, Sheikhik, we're talking about metal here, so a metal statue or something, so you have to crush it and grind it up. And turn it into a powder, pulverize it. And you scatter it in the wind, a matiliyam, or you throw it in the sea. Iboilu, same question. You break it up and you either scatter in the wind or you throw in the sea. You grind it up and you throw in the wind. But throwing the sea is the way it is. Omar Rabba says, Rabba, Vistabra, it makes sense. Avoid, so Rabba says the difference is not chametz or avodah zarah. The difference will be is where, which river you're throwing it into. Because by avodah zarah, we already had a couple of days ago, it says you should take it and yoylich liyam hamelech. What do you do with avodah zarah? You take it and you throw it into the yam hamelech. So Rabba is going to say, the yam hamelech, we talked about there, the trees of the logs of an atzeh hasheder. So what you do is, you know, you take it and you throw it in the yam hamelech. Or Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Elazar said over there that you exchange it for money, and the money you throw in Yam HaMelech. Yam HaMelech, the way Tosfos learns, nobody travels. Or other Rishonim learn that the Yam HaMelech of salt breaks everything up. So Yam HaMelech, you don't have to break it up. I don't care if you throw in chametz, I don't care if you throw in avodah zarah, you don't have to break it up. However, that's, what do you call it? That's Yam HaMelech. But if you throw in any other river, again, I don't care if it's avodah zarah, I don't care if it's... if it's chametz, if you throw into any other river and you see, you have to break it up first because people are traveling by, they might pick it up. Or the water doesn't really break it up completely. That's how Rabba is going to learn. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabba says, Rabba, Baruchov Ches Amar Aleph, right in the middle of the page. Amar Rabba says, Rabba, Mistabra makes sense. Avoidu Zorah, where comes Avoidu Zorah, the Liyam HaMelech Ka'ozla, comes Avoidu Zorah, where you generally throw it into the Dead Sea, Leiboy Shchika. You don't need... you don't need to grind it. Why? Because nobody travels. Nobody travels in the Yam HaMelech. There are no ships there or anything else in the Yam HaMelech. There's no problem. Chametz, the Lishar Noskaz, generally, where are you going to throw chametz? In any other river. Boy, Peter, you should crumb it up first because a ship might go by and they'll pick up the chametz that you had there. Omel Rabbi Yehoshua said, Adrabe, on the contrary, Ibcha Mistabra. It doesn't make sense. It should be the other way around. And I say the difference is avodah zarah or chametz. Avodah zarah is metal. Metal delay mamitz, it doesn't fall apart on its own. Boish chika, therefore, even if you throw in the river, you have to, or the sea, you have to first crush it. Chametz, but when it comes to chametz, the mamitz, when it comes to chametz, since it'll bread, whatever, it'll fall apart in the water, by pity, you don't have to crumb it up. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, avodah zarah, if you throw it in any river, you have to break it up. Big argument to shame him if you throw it in the Yam HaMelech, what would Rabbi Yosef hold? But when it comes to chametz, Rabbi Yosef says, since you throw it, if it doesn't fall apart, it falls apart anyway, it doesn't matter. The word Adrabba, they all wonder the Shadish of the word Adrabba, where does it come from? And the Shadish is actually from this Gemara right here. Rabbi Yosef is having an argument with Rabba. The Gemara in Harriya says at the end that Rabba was Oiker Harim, he was genius, he was sharp. And Rabbi Yosef was Sinai. Rabbi Yosef was had a head of encyclopedia. So Rabbi Yosef was trying to tell Rabbi, Rabbi, you're such a smart person. Is this the best you can come up with in logic? Adrabba, you Rabbi, this is what you come up with. That's where the Shredish of Adrabba comes from right here. Says the Gemara, Tadika was Rabbi, it was Rabbi Yosef. We learned like Rabbi, we learned the Braisa supporting Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi makes a difference between Yam HaMelech or the Yamim, and Rabbi Yosef who makes a difference, Chametz or other things. He holds that by chametz, you always have to crumb it up because by chametz, you don't have to crumb it up because the water will make it fall apart. Tanik was Rabbi, we look at Rabbi, Haimahalach, Bamidba, you're traveling in the desert, Mefadet, Bezel Ruach, you crumb it and you toss it into the wind. Haimahalach, Basfina, you're traveling on a boat, Mefadet, Matliyam, you throw it into the sea. And it says here, you have to crumb it up. It's clearly here that it says it clearly that if you, when it comes to bread, you have to break it up. And Lechoide, we're talking about. The same, you're talking about throwing it into a yam. By bread, generally, when you throw it into a yam, you have to talk about crumbing it up. So we see clearly from here that what? That when you throw it into the sea, bread, you still need to crumb it up. Why? Because ships go by, they might take it. Supports Rabba. Tanya Kavoset Rabbi Yosef, when it talks about the Zorah, Yimahal Midbar Sheikhik. Sheikhik is talking about the Zorah, it's metal, you have to crush it up. The Zorah, the Ruach, is scattered in the wind. Yimahal, you're going to ship. Sheikhik, you crush it up. Umatal Yam, you throw it in the sea. As Gemara, Shchika kashal Rabba, Peter kashal Rabbi Yosef. Shchita is a question to Rabba, and Peter is a question to Rabbi Yosef. Says Gemara, Shchika le Rabba le kashe, Shchika to Rabba is not a problem. Why not? L'choyer is a problem. It says here clearly about avodah zarah, you have to crush it first when you throw it, and according to Rabba, you don't have to crush it. Says Gemara, no problem. Holy Yam HaMelech, I told you, only in Yam HaMelech you don't have to crush it because nobody travels there. But any other river, you have to crush it because a ship can go by. And since it says in the Braisa, if you were traveling on a ship, obviously you're not in Yam HaMelech. It's hard. It's difficult to travel on a ship in Yam HaMelech. Peter Rabbi Yisrael Lekash. What about crumbing? Rabbi Yisrael says that bread you don't have to crumb up because it falls apart. It says clearly the Braisa, you have to, when you throw in the river, you have to crush it up. When it comes to wheat kernels, even though it became chametz, you don't have to crumb it up. But when it comes to wheat kernels, you have to crumb it up because it doesn't dissolve on its own. But when it comes to bread, it falls apart on its own. You don't have to break it up. Mishnah. Chometz shel nochri she'over olav ha'pesach mutar hanoch. Now we're talking about chometz of a goy. After Pesach, you're allowed to have hanor from chometz of a goy. That's the beginning of the Mishnah. V'shel Yisrael, but the end of the Mishnah says, but if it's a yid, osu banor. Even after Pesach, he cannot have any benefit from chometz if he didn't get rid of the chometz, and he was over by yiro. You're not allowed to have any hanor from it after Pesach. Shneimar lo yiro l'chosair. Now, what exactly does that pasuk prove? You shouldn't see. This pasuk is talking about Pesach proper. You're talking about after Pesach. So the Gemara will explain later. Says the Gemara, Mani Mas Nisin. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says it makes a difference in a goy and a yid. A goy chametz after Pesach is permitted, a yid chametz is not. We want to know who the author of the Mishnah is. L'chayda, loy Rab Yehuda, doesn't follow Rab Yehuda. Loy Rab Shimon, doesn't follow Rab Shimon. V'loy Rab Yesi Aguli, knows the father of Yesi Aguli. So before we analyze the Mishnah, we have this Braisa that's going to explain to us what these three opinions are. So the Braisa will take the rest of the page. Mahi, what's this Braisa all about? Tanya, we learned. Chametz, when it comes to Chametz. Bein lifnei zmanu, whether it's before Pesach. Bein la'achas mani, whether it's after Pesach. Over all of the lav. You've committed a sin if you happen to have any Chametz. And Toichzman, that's it before or after Pesach. But when it comes to those, if you eat it, or if you have any hanor from the chametz, you're committing an avera. But Toichzman, during Pesach, over all of belav vikaris. During Pesach, you get not only an avera, but you also get karis if you ate chametz. David Rabbi Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda makes no difference before or during or after Pesach, whether it's a yid, whether it's a goy, all the same. So that's why the author of our Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah makes a distinction between a goy's chametz and a yid. A goy's chametz you're allowed to have after Pesach, and a yid is not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda does not make that difference. Opinion number two, Rabbi Shimon. He holds chametz lifnei zmanu, chametz prior to Pesach, 12 o'clock till night time, ulachas manei post Pesach, einu over ola b'le klum. He didn't do any aveda whatsoever. And if you take, and there's no Rashi on this, so I mean, you take the Gemara literally, Rav Shimon holds that Erev Pesach, you're allowed to eat chametz until at night. You're allowed to enjoy chametz until at night. There's no Yisrael chametz, only on Pesach, as he says right now. On Pesach proper, over all of you violated kodesh, uvelav. So, how do we understand Rav Shimon? There are many, many opinions. Tosfos here. So, first you take the Gemara literally, Rav Shimon holds mutter. You're allowed to eat chametz at a Pesach. You're allowed to have a noah at a Pesach. Tosfos says that it's impossible to say that you're allowed to eat. If you're allowed to eat a Pesach, why? Look at the next line of the Gemara. The next line of the Gemara is, from the moment you're not permitted to eat, nor can you have any pleasure, that would only work out with osan Tanakama. Tanakama says at 12 o'clock you're not allowed to eat, 12 o'clock you're not allowed to have any pleasure. Nu, if Rav Shimon held that you're allowed to eat chametz at Pesach, and the Isser of eating chametz starts Pesach by night, and the Isser of Hanoah starts Pesach by night, then you can say the same statement regarding Rav Shimon. The time of eating, the time of Hanoah happens simultaneously. So it's clear Rav Shimon holds eating starts at 12, Hanoah starts at night, and therefore, the line that eating and Hanoah starts at the same time doesn't work according to Rav Shimon. That's one proof that Tosfos has, not like Rashi, but you're not allowed to eat according to Rav Shimon. But what is the Isser? What is the Isser? The Gemara later on talks about you're not allowed to eat. There's only one pasuk, which is Pesach. The Isser is born out of the midst of Tashbisha. The Torah says you have to destroy the chametz, and if you're eating, you're not destroying the chametz. So the Baal HaMoer, the Avav HaMalal HaMsachim, learns that Mefedesh, you can eat the chametz, and eating, you're fulfilling the midst of Tashbisha. You cannot do other things with the chametz, but if you do other things, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. But if you're eating, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. So according to Rav Shimon, you're allowed to eat chametz at a Pesach. The fact that he says you're allowed to eat entire Erev Pesach chametz proves that the mitzvah of tashbisu is not a mitzvah that you're over every single second that you didn't get rid of your chametz. The Mordechai, in the back of the Gemara, learns that tashbisu, you're over every second. Clearly, the Baal HaMor doesn't hold that because he says you can eat the whole afternoon and you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. But l'chayli, you've been over. Let's say you wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For 3 hours, you've over an Aveda. Obviously, he holds you not over an Aveda. Same thing Taisa here holds you not over an Aveda. Others hold that not only is it asa ba'achila because tashbisu is also asa ba'hanoa midir rabban. Okay, that's opinion number two. What's opinion number three? Says, Tomal Atzmach, you should wonder, hey, Chometz Banoa Kol Shiva, who told you Chometz is even Asa Banoa on Pesach? Forget about prior and post. Even on Pesach proper, it's not Asa. Umenayin Lo'ichel Chometz Meshay Shosel Mayo Shay Bilay. So now the Gemara starts again. How do you know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to eat Chometz from 12 o'clock? Shneva says, Lo'ichel Olav Chometz. It says in the Pasig, Lo'ichel Olav. You shouldn't eat chametz. Olav is referring to the Korban Pesach. As soon as you start dealing with Korban Pesach, which is shechting, you shouldn't have chametz. So we see that from 12 o'clock, you're not allowed to have chametz. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon said, v'chi yev shalomik, and how can you say that? Well, like Vanema, there's a pasuk where it says the following. Loi soichel olav chametz. You should not eat chametz, referring to the Korban Pesach. Why you have a Korban Pesach? But then it says, shivas yom, tegel matzahs. And you should eat 7 days matzahs. Now everyone agrees that the mitzvah of matzah starts at night. And it says at the same time, you shouldn't eat chametz. So it shows clearly that the iser of chametz and the mitzvah matzah go hand in hand. So what does it mean? The pasuk says don't eat on it chametz, and we assumed on it is referring to Korban Pesach. It means no. On it is referring to the mitzvah matzah. Don't eat chametz on it when you're eating the matzah. When you have a mitzvah matzah, don't eat chametz. If you don't have a mitzvah eating matzah, ain't about the chametz. There's no prohibition of eating chametz. So Reb Shimon says we learn out chametz from matzah that the iser of chametz only applies when the mitzvah of matzah exists. Says in more of my time as Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yehuda hold also erev and post? Tlosa kroyiks we have three pesukim. Lo yochel chametz. Don't eat chametz. That's one pasuk. Says lo yochel chametz. You should not eat chametz. Another pasuk is v'chol machmetzes lo yisachelu. It says another pasuk is that you should not eat any chametz in all your midst. And a third pasuk is lo yisoichlu olav chametz, the pasuk we had before, and 7 days you eat matzah. When each pasuk can tell you don't eat chametz, says Rabbi Yehuda, chad lifnei zmani, one erev Pesach, chad la'achas zmani, one post Pesach, and v'chad la'tech zmani, one for Pesach. Nu, Rabbi Shimon, how come he holds only one issa? He says we only have one pasuk that instructs us not to eat chametz. Chad la'tech zmani. But the other two psukim we learn other things from. V'chol machmetz b'boi v'nilgitan we learned. Ain't the yellow shenis chametz me'elav. All I know is chametz that came from itself. Machmas dover acha minayim. How do I know chametz that came from something else? How do I know? Tamalim kol machmetz is lo yisachelu. All I know is chametz that naturally became chametz. Flour and water, you leave it alone, it turns into chametz. How do I know if something became chametz via something else? Like you put yeast on it and turned it into chametz. How do you know that is also included? Anything, any kind of chametz you shouldn't eat. Tracy learns it doesn't mean yeast, because yeast is much worse than just ordinary chametz. It means even you take the sediment of grapes and you use that, there's a little bit of yeast, natural yeast on that, and it ferments, and if you put that on flour, it causes it to ferment. That is also included in the Isser. That's what we use the pasuk for, not to tell you pre or post. And lo ye ochel chametz, what does it do with that? Meboile, you know what we need that for? To tell us some historical news. Like the Tanya, Rabbi Yisiyak, Loim, the Menayin, how do you know the Pesach Mitzrayim? The very first Pesach the Eden observed, which was prior to Matan Torah, how do you know it was different than ours? It wasn't a 7-day Pesach. She'ein chimutzu no yemecha. They only kept Pesach for 1 day. Tamar Loimer comes to tell you, Lo ye ochel chametz, do not eat chametz. The Samech Lein, right after it says, Hayei matim yetzim. The next pasuk is Hayei matim yetzim. Imagine, today you are leaving Mitzrayim. Imagine there's a full stop after the word Hayei. And read it as follows. Lo ye ochel chametz, do not eat chametz. When? Hayei. Today. So the first Pesach, they only observed 1 day. Those who are asked, fine. So we need those two psukim. So what is Rabbi Yehuda going to say? Rabbi Yehuda, these two dinim, how does he learn it? Since he needs those two psukim to tell you post and prior to Pesach, so how does he learn those din? So Rabbi Yehuda, machmas davar achim, not only how does he know something became chametz not on its own, but because of something else that you placed there that caused it to ferment? How do you know that that is also included in chametz? It's not because the pasuk is extra; it's because of the wording in the pasuk. It says kol machmetzes instead of saying kol chametz and machmetzes. So that word machmetzes includes any way it became chametz; it is forbidden. Okay. And Rabbi Yosi Hagluli, how does he know what Rabbi Yosi Hagluli said that Pesach Mitzrayim was only observed by one day for one day? Says Gemara, you know how he knew it. He knew because he buys same with the samach layyam again, not because the pasuk is extra, because of the juxtaposition. It says lo ye ochel chametz, and the next pasuk says hayyim. So therefore, the juxtaposition of these two psukim tell us, do not eat chametz today. Or he buys same as well. Doshi Tak doesn't agree. He holds that you don't learn extra juxtaposition, and they kept 7 days like everybody else. Okay, that was the braisa. Now the Gemara will analyze the braisa before we get to leading to our question who the author of our Mishnah is. Abba Mayu said, we learned before, we're repeating now what the braisa said. How can you say that? Right, it's clear in the pasuk that the Easter of chametz and is linked to the mitzvah matzah. What's he going to respond to that? Says, we would have thought, since the pasuk says al pesach, you know, by pesach al matzah zemroyim yichlu, the pesach is eaten together with matzah mer. We would have thought no pesach today. Maybe there's no mitzvah matzah mer. In fact, we're going to learn that Kuf Chof Rav Acha by Yaakov says there's no mitzvah eating matzah today. Mahatayra only midrabbam. So maybe there's no mitzvah eating matzah today. So we need the pasuk to tell you, not that we are comparing chametz to matzah. Fakek, we're comparing matzah to chametz. Since today the prohibition of eating chametz, everyone agrees, exists. It's not linked to Karm Pesach. So too, chametz shivas yamim techem matzah. 7 days you should eat matzah. In other words, the mitzvah matzah exists even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's what we use the pasuk for. So the Gemara, even today, how does he know that today it exists? Nafkali, know where he learns it from. It says a pasuk, be'erev toichlu matzis, that at night you should eat matzis, which is totally not related to Korban Pesach. So we learn from there that even though there's no Korban Pesach, eat matzah. Nu, Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't he learn from there? Why does he use the pasuk of chametz and matzah? That pasuk we need in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but you weren't involved in the korban. What do you mean? In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but you were tamei. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you lived far away. You couldn't make it to Yerushalayim in time. What's the din? You don't bring korban pesach. You come pesach sheni. So how do we know then that you have to eat matzah and mor? So that's why he tells you that you have to eat matzah and mor for the pasuk where it says, Be'erev Toichlu tells you that even though you're not involved in the Korban Pesach, you should bring a Korban Pesach. But how do we know when there's no Beis HaMikdash and no one brings a Korban Pesach? You still have to eat matzah. Even though the Gemara says Morah, this man says only the Rabbanon. We're just bringing it along as a tag along, or drag along, but we really mean matzah. So that's why we need a pasuk that don't eat chametz, but Shivas Yamim should eat matzahs. Says the Gemara, I would have thought, since today nobody eats Pesach, maybe you should also should have matzah more. Come on, as long as you do. Nu Rab Shimon, Tomei, what's he going to do? Since Rab Shimon uses Be'er Teichlu Matzahs for telling you that even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, you have to eat matzah, how does he know in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, if you were Tomei, you had to eat matzah? Rab Shimon, Tomei, the Chagel Yitzchak, the only pasuk. Why? The Legora Ma'oral Benecher. He holds that it's no different than an Oral Benecher. Oral Benecher is worse. An Oral is somebody's uncircumcised. According to Rashi, it's not his fault. He's a hemophiliac. His brothers all died. But according to Taisus, it's talking about a case where it's his fault. Benecher, somebody who's a stranger to Hashem. Rashi says he keeps mitzvahs, but in certain respect, he doesn't believe in the Eibishter. An interesting concept. Somebody doesn't believe in the Eibishter, yet he does mitzvahs. And to tell you that an Oral and a Ben Necher, they cannot participate in a Korban Pesach. It says, "Chsiva chol odol lo yochel boy." An odol should not eat because Korban Pesach is holy. It's a carbon. I don't want such a type of person eating from it. But it says, "Boy, it boy who ainu oichel." He cannot participate in Korban Pesach. Avol oichel hu b'matzah mara could participate in matzah mara. So Rav Shimon says, if an odol ben nechad can eat matzah mara, so surely, a tummy that a chayk is not even their fault. Surely they should be eating matzah mara. So I don't need the pasuk be'erev toichlu for that. Says even further. Therefore I learned from the pasuk chametz and matzah that the only time that you have an isur chametz is the time you have matzah. I don't need it to tell me when there's no base, the base mitzvah existing, you're a tamid el chayke, because that I will learn from Arul. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, ksi b'hai. I have no problem with the Torah writing by an Arul ben Necha and the Torah writing also by a tamid el chayke. It's two different points. One is in the time base mitzvah, but you weren't involved, and one is post the base mitzvah. Says the Gemara, so mani mastis, and now we're leading finally to our question. Who is, our Mishnah says that chametz that went by Pesach is forbidden to have hanah. Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. But it says a goy's chametz is permitted. Rabbi Yehuda makes no distinction between an eat and a goy. Eat Rabbi Yehuda, chametz, tamar, kama, I don't care whose chametz it is, I feel the nochre goy. And we eat Rabbi Shimon, and if we're talking about Rabbi Shimon, he holds that even eat chametz is permitted after Pesach. How can he be the author of our Mishnah? Yisol nami mishikashari, a yid is also permitted. The eat Rabbi Yehsi ha-Galili, then not only is post Pesach permitted, he holds even during Pesach is permitted. I thought, tell us my nami is he allowed to. Amar Bach Rabbi Yaakov. So the first answer we'll learn today. The first answering one. Amar Bach Rabbi Yaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov says, "The oilam Rabbi Yehuda, the author of our mission is Rabbi Yehuda. Now what? That he eats chametz is forbidden after Pesach, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that goy's chametz is permitted. How do I know? The yalif se'or da achilim is se'or diriyak. Rabbi Yehuda said, you know what? The Sa'or, which talks about eating and having Hanor, let's compare it to the Sa'or that talks about Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze. What did we learn of Hamer Beis regarding Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze? Shalacha, it says Lacha, yours. You're not allowed to see your Chametz. Abel Atoroya, Shalachayna, Shalgavah. You're allowed to see someone else's Chametz, or Goy's Chametz, someone else's Chametz, or Hegdish. And Rabbi Yehuda, this is how Rashi learns the Gemara, says when it comes to eating Chametz and having Hanor from Chametz, only your Chametz you're not allowed to have Hanor. But a goy's chametz, you're allowed to have hanor on Pesach and after Pesach. And that's how some Rishonim learn. Let's do the one inside. I'm sure what Rashi learns. Ma'asar, did you have to have a goy? You're allowed to see someone else's chametz or the hegdish. Avsar, the chil comes to eating. Shalchoi, after oichel, you're not allowed to eat yours. I'll let you have a goy. Ubedin hu, the boy later missed a filochil namishai. Really, we should tell you that after Pesach, you're allowed to eat a goy's chametz. Not only is it permitted to have pleasure, you're even allowed to eat a goy's chametz. But by Eid, the ton of the Yisrael, also by Noah, he wants to tell you by Eid, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to even have pleasure. So when he draws a contrast, he says, by goy, mutter bahano, you're permitted. And Nochmer, uvedinu di boy, mister vetoz mani mutter bahano, but if you're talking about a goy, then even on Pesach, you're allowed to have pleasure from a goy's chametz, mahatoyra. But the Aidi the ton of the Yisrael, achas manor, but because by a Yid, you not have pleasure in Pesach. By Yid, we're talking about even after Pesach, not have pleasure. If we draw a contrast to Goy after Pesach. So a Goy, you're allowed to have pleasure during Pesach, after Pesach, is chametz. That's how some Rishonim learn, many, most. Look at Rashi. Let's do Rashi inside. It's amazing Rashi. Four lines on the top of the page. Lo ye'ochel. He compares lo ya'ochel to sa'or of seeing. Umutir chemtze shel nochri, you're allowed to take the chametz of a goy af be'achila. You hear what Rashi says it? On Pesach, you can drink mashke as long as it belongs to the goy. Va'afilu be'pesach min ha'Torah. On Pesach proper, forget about after Pesach. Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to eat the chametz of a goy on Pesach. Amazing. Tosis here, at the top of the page, argues with Rashi, but not in this principle. Tosis agrees with Rashi. Tosis agrees that you're allowed to eat a goy's chametz on Pesach. It's amazing. But he says, practically speaking, how can it be? The moment the goy gave you the chametz, it became your chametz. So it's no longer a goy's chametz. And if you stole the chametz, then you're responsible for it. And we learned of Hema Beis that if you're responsible, it's as if you're the one who carries avera by your Rabbi Matzah. So practically speaking, how can it be? So the ready answer is talking about a case where somebody takes the chametz and pushes it down the back of your throat. So you didn't pick it up, you didn't acquire it. But it's amazing. So Rashi takes a both hold, and in theory, and according to this part of the Gemara, and more later will change his mind, you're allowed to eat a goy's chametz on Pesach. But we also learn from this taste, there's another fascinating halacha is that the moment, that there's a famous question. If you have a guest in your house, and you put cholent on his plate to eat, and then you got angry, got into a fight, and you throw him out, is he allowed to take the plate of food with him, or the food doesn't belong to him, he has to leave it on the table? Or another question came up in Shiloh Chuvis. What happens if you put a beautiful steak on his plate and he takes it, and you have a nice daughter, he takes a steak, gives it to your daughter, and he says, Hare at me kudeshes li besteikze, you're engaged to me with this steak. Is it his? When you put food, you give food to a guest, does it belong to the guest? Does it belong to the host? Big machlek is a shayim in Durn of Lama. Dalad will learn one day on the base. But Tesis says here, the moment the goy gave you the food, it is yours. So clearly Tesis holds that you're a guest in somebody's house and they give you food, the food becomes yours. So within Tesis, there are three opinions. So when exactly does it become yours? As soon as they put it on the plate? When you put it on your fork to lift it and you lift it? Or when you actually put it in your mouth? And the nafkamin is, while it's on the plate, he takes it and gives it to a girl and says, you're mekudesh to me. To one of them, is she mekudesh or not? Does it belong to the guest? If you throw him out, can he take the food with him or not? It all revolves around this little tesis here. So interesting how you see how the Gemara, you know, how the Rishonim go from one thing to another, the segue to the next halacha. Anyway, the first answer Gemara is, we'll stop here. The first answer Gemara is that it goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. A Yid's Chametz is forbidden during Pesach, after Pesach, but a Goy's Chametz is permitted during and after, according to Rashi and Tesis, to eat. You're allowed to eat a Goy's Chametz on Pesach or after Pesach. According to most Rishonim, it means you're allowed to have hanoah from it, but you're not allowed to eat a Goy's Chametz. We'll continue tomorrow in Mitzvah Shem. Have a good luck.
If you've sold your chametz to the goy, it's the goy's chametz, so then you're already allowed to eat it, according to...
Yeah, but the moment you take it back, it becomes yours again.
It becomes yours. Yeah.
That's a problem. Actually, the Rush brings on this Gemara here, the Tesefta, about... This is where it all starts. Where did the whole thing start selling the chametz? He brings a Tesefta that you're allowed to sell a goy chametz, and you're allowed to buy it back after Pesach, and you're allowed to tell the goy even... You know, the chametz only cost $100. Pay me $200 because I might buy it back from you after Pesach and I'll pay you even more money. Or something to that effect. Or I'll pay you $200 to buy it back after Pesach. So that's where, and this Gemara here is where it starts. The Rush at least starts talking about selling to a goy. Not the way we do today, the whole format, but just the idea of selling it to a goy.